My son goes to a yeshiva high school here in Eretz Israel, and recently the yeshiva high school had a rav, a rebbe, come to visit the yeshiva, and he met with each one of the young men. Well, my son being 13 years old, he met with him, and he claimed, this rebbe claimed, that he had some kind of ability to understand, comprehend, and really relate to each young man's particular issues, character flaws, and personalities. How exactly this rebbe would know how to relate to these young men after having met them in 1 minute, when I know my son for 13 years and I still have difficulty figuring him out, I'm not exactly sure. But sure enough, he met with my son and he said to him that, "I see that you're a very bright young man, but you have two problems. One is that you're lacking in kibud avaim, you're lacking in proper respect to your parents," something which, by the way, I probably wouldn't argue with, but I don't know if I appreciate him telling him. "And secondly," he said to him, "that you're lazy." So he said, "In order to rectify these problems, I suggest that you go through and review 3 pages of Gemara, of the Talmud, learn them by heart, and this will help you overcome the issues that he so cleverly evaluated in the span of a 5-minute meeting with my son." Well, I thought to myself afterwards, after hearing this story from my son, who was not complaining, but inside myself, internally, I was being torn asunder. And I thought to myself, how could someone claim to understand, to appreciate who my son is in the span of just a few minutes of a meeting? Not only that, but it doesn't make sense to me. If my son is indeed lazy, which again I have no problem admitting to, how exactly is going through three pages of Gemara and learning them by heart going to rectify this particular problem that he has? And how exactly do you overcome the laziness so as to encourage him, once again from stage one, to want to study these 3 pages of Talmud? Very difficult to understand what's going on here. But what I realized is that often we are so overtaken by this spiritual fervor that it really blinds what we're meant to do from a religious perspective in practicality. I'm not certain what exactly is supposed to be our kivun, our direction, but I know that when it comes to an evaluation of what's expected of us in religiosity, we have to have Hashem in mind. We have to have God in mind. What is written in the Torah, what is written in the Halakha, those are the prescribed ways of ensuring spiritual perpetuation. Certainly to promote a healthy and a wholesome agenda, and not to hide behind the lofty aspirations that can be so misleading, and quite frankly, completely misunderstood in terms of what exactly the purpose is to begin with. And this is really what we're presented with in a very similar fashion in Parshat Shmini. One of the most difficult parshiot, portions in the Torah to comprehend, is the sin of Nadav v'Avihu, the 2 sons of Aaron u'Kohen, who apparently are makriv this esh zara, this strange foreign flame in front of Hashem, whereby they are consumed by the flame of a Kadosh Baruch Hu kiviyachol, and punished, obviously, for their miscalculation. And there ensues a tremendous machloket, an argument amongst the Rishonim, of what exactly was their sin. Where did they go wrong? It appears that according to the simple context of the psukim, of the verses in the Torah, that Nadav and Avihu's intentions were sincere. So what happened? And if we look at the context of the psukim, while I don't have a complete and wholesome sound answer, certainly not one as good as the Rishonim, I'd like to analyze some of the psukim which I think are revealing in terms of what happened here. Immediately preceding the sins of Nadav and Avihu, the Torah tells us in Perek Tet Pasuk Chof Bet, Vaisa Aharon et Yadav El Ha'am, after Aharon HaKohen is involved in a Korban Ha'ola, in this special Korban, the sacrifice consumed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Keviachol, on the Mizbeach, the altar, in the heart of the Mishkan, his reaction is, Vaisa Aharon et Yadav El Ha'am, he spreads his hands towards, or lifts them towards the nation, Vayivarchem, and he blesses them. Vayer be'asot achatat ve'olah ve'ashlamim, and upon blessing them, he completes these sacrifices. It appears that these blessings that Aaron offers is a natural reaction as a result of his feeling this love, this compassion, this need to express himself in closeness with Am Yisrael, whereby it follows he blesses them. The Torah continues, Vayavo Moshe v'Aharon el Ohel Moed, Vayitzu vayivarchu et ha'am. It's interesting, my friends. Here the Torah in Pasuk Chaf Gimel says, Vayavo Moshe v'Aharon. Two people, Moshe and Aharon, come. Vayavo is singular form. What it should have said, in proper context, Vayavo'u Moshe v'Aharon. Moshe and Aharon, plural, came together. But no. The Torah indicates to us that they arrived as one. There was one purpose, one focus, one agenda that they had. And what was that agenda? Vayivarchu et ha'am, to bless the nation. Vayira kvod Hashem el kol ha'am. Because of these sincere intentions that Moshe and Aaron had, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also appeared and revealed his glory to the nation Am Yisrael as well. Then the Torah continues, Vateitzei eish milifnei Hashem, Vatochal al ha-mizbeach et ha-ola ve'et ha-chalavim. And sure enough, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's flame consumes the sacrifices that were offered as such by Aaron. Vayera kol ha'am, vayar kol ha'am, again, in singular form, all of the nation saw this miraculous feat of the karbon of the sacrifices being consumed. And their reaction is, quite appropriately, Vayaronu vayiplu al pneihem. Vayaronu liranin. They sing shevach. They sing praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and are totally awestruck by his presence. Now the Torah introduces to us what would seem to be the antithesis, the complete opposite of Aaron and Moshe's actions, the actions of Nadav v'Avihu with the dire consequences. Vayikhu b'nei Aharon Nadav v'Avihu. Here the Torah emphasizes, Vayikhu, they took, in plural, they are two people. Not necessarily approaching this entire episode and mission as one, but rather each one has his own agenda. Ish machtato vayinu bahen eish vayasimu alea ktoret. Ish machtato, each kohen, each Nadav ve'Avihu separately take their own plate with which to offer, their own bowl with which to offer the esh, the fire that they will bring in front of Hashem. Vayasimu alea ktoret, they place the ktoret. Vayikrivu lishbnei Hashem esh zara. Now the fire that they offered is no longer called just an esh. It is now referred to as esh zara, a strange, foreign fire. Vateitzei esh milifnei Hashem. A fire comes from Hashem. Not a strange fire, because it is a fire that arrives from HaKadosh Baruch Hu kevyachol, from the spiritual source himself. Batochal otam vayamutu lifnei Hashem. It consumes the boys, Nadav v'Avihu, the Kohanim, and not their sacrifice, not the Ktoret. Vayomer Moshe el Aaron, Moshe says to Aaron, when they get wind of what happens, Hu asher diber Hashem, this is what Hashem pronounces, Bekrovai ekadesh be'al pnei kol ha'am ekabed. I sanctify those who are close to me, in face of all of the nation. Vayidom Aharon, Aaron is silent. It appears that Nadav and Avihu's intentions are sincere. However, Rabotai, what we have to understand is that when we're dealing with spirituality, and certainly success as such, the slightest miscalculation, be it in action or intent, can be devastating. Vayikru ishmachtato. Nadav v'Avihu are arriving not as one, not vayikach, not vayavo, as Moshe and Aaron, but rather ishmachtato. Each one might very well have been self-absorbed, interested in their own purpose, and not necessarily in precisely how and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that service has to take place in the Mishkan. Moshe and Aaron, before they approach the Esh, the fire of Hashem, they clearly indicate that their servitude is to the Am, to the nation. Vayivachu et ha'am. Kvod Hashem el kol ha'am. They are interested in the large picture. They are interested in the follow-up, in the repercussions, in the consequences with regards to an Am, a nation, a Bnei Yisrael. And this is why it precisely follows the action of Nadav v'Avihu, the punishment that they receive. What does Moshe say to Aaron? This is what Hashem says, Bekrovai ekadesh v'al pnei kol ha'am ekadesh, on the face of the entire nation, meaning to be karov to Hashem, to be bekrovaya kadesh, to be considered someone who's close to the source, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one must have only and exclusively the interest of kol ha'am ekadesh, the interest of the nation, the interest of the am, of the entire populace. And therefore it's interesting, because there is a constant emphasis in the context of these psukim in the reference to esh, to fire. Rav Shlomo Aviner comments that when we refer to this esh, an esh can be something that is extremely fulfilling and the means of fulfilling sacrifice, but at the same time it can be most detrimental if it is misused. Says Rav Aviner, Eish shel mata mechuvenet keneged eish shel ma'ala. The eish of the ktoret, of the incense, the fire, has to be from down below, directed and guided, connected to the eish shel ma'ala, the fire up above. Ha'asiya enoshit ve'afa itla'avut ha'idealit el'yona tzrichim linok v'liyokshurim limkoram ha'eloki. Man's practical deeds that he demonstrates, his idealism, his love and his passion for what is above, the Torah, mitzvot and Hashem, they must feed off and be intrinsically connected to the source, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and none other. Mechuvanim al pi dvar Hashem, directed according to the specifications and the instructions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and none other, including not one's own self-biased or self-interpretation, as appears to what have happened to Nadav v'Avihu. This is so crucial for spiritual success, and therefore it is interesting. At the beginning, when Nadav v'Avihu offer their fire, it says, Vayinu bahen esh, but immediately afterwards it is referred to as esh zara, a strange fire. Sometimes we are so passionately and feverishly religious, that the same fire that feeds that fever can become very destructive, can obstruct our view, can blind us from seeing the truth and appreciating that there is a path and a formula already prescribed for us that ensures spiritual success. I read recently a story of the Ger Rebbe. One of his Hasidim came to him and said, "Rebbe, what should I do? I saw in one of my dreams, I saw Eliyahu Hanavi." The Rebbe said to him quite succinctly, he said, "Don't sleep so much." Sometimes we're so caught up in the dream, we see Eliyahu Hanavi, but we forget. We see these visions perhaps because we're doing the wrong thing. Perhaps we have to wake up and smell the coffee, so to speak. Often we spend so much time being frum that we forget what it means to be religious. In a community near me where we live, there's a large community of a very, very frum, what you would call very ultra-Orthodox neighborhood. And there are placards that line all of the buildings, the stores, the center of the industry there, that say, "Ama'avar bilvush tsanua bilvad." One should only pass this area if they are dressed modestly. There's a large billboard in the center of the stores that says and describes exactly how one should dress in order to go shopping there, and in order to make sure that they are dressed modestly. And yet when you drive or walk through the neighborhood, it is so utterly dirty and filthy. The streets are lined with bottles and bags and garbage and paper. There's dirt all over the place. The buildings are sprayed with graffiti that talk about tzniut, being modest. Well, last I checked, part of tzniut, part of being modest, is also having derech eretz, is menschlichkeit, not to deface public buildings, not to deface public property, not to throw things out of your house that one would not want to have in their own courtyard, but rather to dispose of it privately, modestly, in something that we call a garbage can. All of this is part of becoming the consummate spiritual Jew. But it all begins with the basics of menschlichkeit, of derech eretz. I believe when we look at Nadav v'Avihu, it's quite possible that their frumkeit was there, but they were missing in their religious direction. They skipped over perhaps the basic halachot that differentiates between spiritual progress and utter annihilation. The Ramban Nachmanides says that the sin of Nadav v'Avihu is that they drank wine and then they entered the Kodesh. But the question is, says the Ramban, there really was no Isser, no prohibition at that time, until a few psukim later in our same Parsha, after they had already passed away, there was no Isser prior to their leaving this world of drinking wine, of a Kohanim, of the priests entering the Kodesh, imbibed by wine. And interestingly enough, what was the problem? Rashi says, "Vayidom Aharon." After Aharon hears of the demise of his children, it says, "Vayidom." He is quiet. And Rashi comments, "Kibel schar al shtikato." He got a reward for remaining silent, for controlling himself. Usma schar kibel. Which reward did he receive? The entire parsha that ensues, that talks about the Isser, the prohibition for Kohanim to drink wine, was said exclusively and privately to Aaron HaKohen. There is significance between the connection of the sin of Nadav v'Avihu and the reward that Aaron received. Perhaps the wine was not necessarily in the letter of the law was not yet usher, prohibited. However, we all know what kind of effect wine has. Chazal say, and we just experienced Purim, Nichnas Yayin Yotza Sod. Yayin, wine, fills a person, and all of a sudden his innards are revealed. It appeared that Nadav ve'Avihu had positive intentions, but perhaps they were intoxicated in spirituality for the wrong reasons. They fell short because they did not need to approach servicing God with new ingredients, but rather to subscribe to the old ingredients that were necessary to be Ovdei Hashem, to worship and service HaKadosh Baruch Hu kavyachol b'chvodo u'b'atzmo. And therefore they made the mistake. The drinking of wine by Nadav ve'Avihu does not necessarily mean that they were drunk, but it means that their intentions were revealed. Yotza sod. It was not completely sincere for the proper reasons. And therefore Aaron, in response to the dire situation, to the mistake of his sons, Aaron is quiet. Vayidom Aaron. This demonstrates control. Aaron demonstrates that he has full control of his faculties, and he is completely focused on serving Hashem. The reward that Aaron receives is the parsha of the Yayin. That is not only the parsha per se, but it's a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I believe, acknowledged to Aaron that I understand you, that I understand where you're coming from, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Aaron, you are someone who is sincere. You are someone who follows the letter of the law and the spirit of the law as well. And therefore you are zoche, you merit serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the inners and chambers of the Mishkan on a daily basis. Would do us well to distance ourselves from personal calculations and to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu through strict adherence of the written law, of the oral law, and as a result of such servitude, we'll all be zoche to see the binyan go'al tzedek b'mhera b'yameinu. Amen. Shabbat shalom.